streaming via iNews.id and RRED Digital. I'm Luca Kusumawati and I will accompany you to complete your weekend with highlight of the week. Let's begin with the first info, where Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto has signed President's Instruction No. 9 of 2025.
We will follow up and coordinate to accelerate the formation, as the instruction clearly states the need for speed. I have been assigned to coordinate, and a task force will be formed to work full time. Now, this is a very good idea, and truly reflects the vision of our nation's founders that our economy should be based on mutual cooperation. Many ministries will be involved.
Furthermore, Zulkifli emphasized that the formation of the Red and White Village Cooperative will involve multiple ministries and government institutions to ensure the process moves quickly and effectively. A direct task force will focus on pushing for the establishment of cooperatives in villages across the country, in close coordination with local governments and relevant ministries.
Next, we have information about Indonesia and Turkey agreed to extend market access and remove trade barriers. Indonesia and Turkey agreed to extend market access and remove trade barriers between the two countries. Here is the details by Dora Pandeli.
Indonesia and Turkey have agreed to extend market access and remove trade barriers between the two countries. This was conveyed by President Prabowo in a joint statement after a bilateral meeting with Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Ankara, Turkey, Thursday. President Prabowo explained that the extension of market access and removal of trade barriers were agreed to support the common goal of developing as an economic power in the region. Therefore, President Prabowo and President Erdogan have instructed relevant ministers to finalize the preferential trade agreement negotiation as a first step toward a comprehensive economic cooperation agreement between Indonesia and Turkey.
Saya juga.
I also reported that we have instructed our respective trade minister to finalize the preferential trade agreement as a first step towards Turkey and Indonesia, SEPA.
In
a joint statement, Prabowo further conveyed Indonesia's commitment to strengthen strategic cooperation with Turkey in various fields, ranging from infrastructure, renewable energy, defense industry, to health industry. President Prabowo visited Turkey's presidential palace as a reciprocal state visit after President Erdogan visited Bogor presidential palace, West Java, on February 12, 2025. President Prabowo's state visit was welcomed with warm and festivity.
Now we have information about Prabowo Subianto emphasized the commitment of Indonesia and Turkey. President of the Republic of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto, in a speech delivered by the Turkish parliament on Thursday, he emphasized the commitment of Indonesia and Turkey to strengthen strategic cooperation, including efforts to make global peace. Danoff has the details.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto stated that Indonesia and Turkey have agreed to continue strengthening their cooperation on global geopolitical issues. In his statement, President Prabowo highlighted the importance of both countries playing an active role in maintaining global stability and peace, particularly in supporting the independence of Palestine.
Saya dan President Erdogan tukar pandangan.
President Erdogan and I exchanged views on geopolitical issues. We agreed that Indonesia and Turkey must contribute to maintaining global stability and peace. Together, we will continue to support Palestinian independence. We also support stability in Syria and peace in Ukraine. Both countries have agreed to continue to help each other in pursuing these goals.
Untuk terus saling membantu dalam memperjuangkan hal-hal ini.
President Prabowo also emphasized that both countries will continue to work together as a leader of the global south to promote a fair world order that benefits all nations. Furthermore, he described his state visit as highly productive. He mentioned that several agreements have been signed, covering areas such as defense, energy, disaster management, and culture.
Let's move on to our next info, where financial sector stability maintained, financial authority remains alert to global dynamics. The chairman of Indonesia's Financial Services Authority, Mahendra Siregar, emphasized that the stability of the national financial service sector remains intact, despite ongoing global economy uncertainty. Opa has the details.
Chairman of the Financial Services Authority, Mahendra Siregar, said that the national financial sector remains stable amid global economic challenges. This statement was made during the press conference on the Financial Services Sector Assessment and Financial Authority's Policy following the Monthly Board of Commissioners meeting held on Friday. He noted that Financial Services Authority continues to closely monitor global developments, including market volatility and projections of global economic growth.
Inflasi inti di Februari cukup terkendali, yaitu 2.48%, yang menunjukkan
core inflation in February was relatively well managed at 2.48%, indicating that domestic demand remains strong. However, several indicators also suggest moderated demand. The national economy continues to show solid performance, as confirmed by a regular review from the Buddhist Investor Service, which reaffirmed Indonesia's credit rating at Baa2 with a stable outlook. In addition, Fitch has also maintained Indonesia's rating at BBB with a stable outlook.
Fitch juga mempertahankan rating Indonesia di level BBB atau BBB dengan outlook stabil.
Siregar also stated that these ratings reflect global confidence in the fundamentals of Indonesia's economy and show that the policies implemented have been effective in maintaining financial sector resilience amid global uncertainty.
Our next info is about Financial Services Authority says reciprocal tariffs are Indonesia's momentum for investment climate reform. The announcement of reciprocal tariffs by United States President Donald Trump is a momentum for Indonesia to reform the investment climate in the country. And Andy Rondoni has the details.
Chairman of the Board of Commissioners of the Financial Services Authority, Mahendra Siregar, Friday said that the announcement of reciprocal tariffs by the President of the United States, Donald Trump, is a momentum for Indonesia to reform the investment climate in the country. In a press statement monitored online from Jakarta, he said that the Indonesian government had announced a number of steps that would be taken in responding to the reciprocal tariff policy. Siregar also said the steps prepared by the Indonesian government will improve the ecosystem of the affected industry, both in increasing resilience and the ability to compete in the global market.
Kalau ini dilakukan, maka sebenarnya apa yang terjadi dengan risiko dari tarif
is done, then what actually happens with the risk of this reciprocal tariff actually provides good momentum for us to reform the overall investment climate and conditions in Indonesia so as to increase competitiveness, and that will actually be able to strengthen our competitiveness not only in the United States but also throughout the world.
bukan hanya di Amerika Serikat tapi di seluruh dunia juga.
Previously, United States President Donald Trump on April 2, 2025 announced the imposition of an additional 10% tariff on goods entering the United States. This tariff was then also added to the reciprocal tariff, which differed between countries. Before it was announced that it would be postponed for 3 months. Indonesia was imposed a 32% reciprocal tariff by the United States. A number of industries that are expected to be affected include the textile, footwear, and palm oil sectors.
Coming up next, information about Indonesia Week's positive progress in global tourism index. Indonesia Week with positive progress in the global tourism index GTI 2025, where Indonesia's position is at the level of medium and low impacted by terrorism. But I've already had the details. Indonesia has recorded positive progress in countering terrorism based on the Global Terrorism Index 2025. Deputy for Indonesia Cooperation of the National Counter-Terrorism Agency, Andika Krishna Yudanto, in the Global Terrorism Index 2025 discussion in Jakarta Thursday, revealed that the positive progress was indicated by Indonesia's position at the medium and low impacted by terrorism levels in the last few years. Andika said the threat of terrorism organization in Indonesia continues to decline. Even for 2 consecutive years, Indonesia experienced 0 terrorist attacks.
And to remind us, we run that against terrorism in Indonesia. The overall threat from terrorist organizations in Indonesia continued to decline throughout 2024, indicating the reduced operational capacity of existing terrorist organizations. For the second consecutive year, Indonesia also experienced 0 terrorist attacks.
Andika further explained that in June 2024, senior leaders of Jamaah Islamiyah, which is affiliated with Al-Qaeda, one of the largest groups in Indonesia, had publicly announced the dissolution of the organization. The Global Terrorism Index is a comprehensive study that analyzes the impact of terrorism on 163 countries covering 99.7% of the world population. For Indonesia, the Global Terrorism Index is not just a ranking tool, but a valuable reference in decision-making to develop policies and strengthen counter-terrorism strategies both at the national, regional, and global scope.
Next information is about Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono that said Indonesia has lost a cultural hero, Titi Puspa. Former President of the Republic of Indonesia, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono expressed his deep condolences over the passing of legendary artist Titi Puspa, who dedicated her life to art and the nation. Randolph has the details.
Indonesian former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono shared his deep sorrow over the passing of senior artist Titi Puspa. While visiting the funeral home in Seoul, Jakarta on Friday, April 11, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono remembered the late Titi Puspa as a cultural hero.
Kita kehilangan seorang pahlawan kebudayaan. Kalau saya boleh mengatakan,
we have lost a cultural hero, if I may say so. Titi Puspa dedicated her life to the world of art, culture, and even social causes. She was truly a maestro, musician, and cross-generational artist who inspired through many eras.
Seorang maestro, seorang musisi, seorang seniman lintas generasi dari masa ke masa.
Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono also reflected on his personal connection with the late Titi Puspa during his 10 years leading Indonesia. He often interacted alongside her in various cultural events and witnessed her tireless spirit and dedication to serving the country through the art. At the end of his remark, as they appeared that she would be received peacefully by God and hope her life would serve as an example for future generations. He emphasized that Indonesia and the world need more figures like Titi Puspa, heroes of art and culture, who spread peace, compassion, and unity.
Last but not least, we have information about Indonesian musicians said the late veteran artist Titi Puspa, a hero for Indonesia. Indonesian legendary singer and songwriter Titi Puspa passed away in Jakarta on Thursday, April 10th, at the age of 87. Several prominent figures paid their respect at her residence in Jakarta that same day, including musician Yofi Widianto. As reported by Barron's agency, Yofi described Titi Puspa's work as timeless and said that the Indonesian art scene had lost a true hero.
Personally, I was deeply shocked. We have lost a hero who meant so much to Indonesia. We thought about we Indonesian musicians, composers, and artists pray so that our hero is granted a place in God's paradise, the most beautiful place by the side of the Almighty. I know her works will remain eternal in Indonesian art.
Titi Puspa was renowned for writing thousands of songs and albums that became hits in Indonesia during the late 20th century, as well as her role in several films. She also participated in the Bintang Radio singing competition in 1954 and 1960, organized by Radio Republik Indonesia, Indonesia's public radio network that also runs Voice of Indonesia. Titi Puspa was laid to rest at Tanah Kusir Cemetery in Jakarta on Friday. Listen, that was some information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week.
I'm not the one who's running out of time.
Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and live streaming on voanews.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Visualani, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you. Indonesia.
Hello, what's up? This voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, if you check a lot of media across the globe, it seems that the whole world is commenting about the tariff being imposed by the United States, especially by US President Donald Trump. And a lot of people also have discussed it from the aspect of economy. But today, we would like to see the US reciprocal tariff policy, but on its impact on the multilateralism. And to help us understand about this, we will be talking about an international relation expert and observer of global diplomacy, Professor Hikmahan Dajwa. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here.
So, how do you see about this policy, sir, in terms of international relations?
Okay, first of all, we have to understand that the tariff being imposed is not against only Indonesia, but it is against a lot of countries. And I understand that probably more than 50 countries have asked to negotiate with the U.S. government. But you have to understand this. If you have 50 countries or more being imposed a tariff by U.S. President Donald Trump, the question is, will the demand in the U.S. Have other sources? Or they don't have any other sources? Because when the tariff is being imposed to the countries, that means that the U.S. citizens have to pay. And that will hurt the U.S. citizens. I mean, before you say buy sneakers, which is made in Indonesia, but of course it's a product of U.S., you know, a certain product that is very renowned in the U.S., before you pay much cheaper, now you pay much higher. The question is, can the U.S. factories come up with a lot of demands of sneakers in the U.S.? If not, then they don't have any alternative. Secondly, with respect to palm oil, we exported also to U.S. Palm oil. If it is badly needed, and the only palm oil producers, the biggest, is Indonesia and Malaysia, and if Indonesia and Malaysia is being imposed, that means U.S. citizens have to pay more. That's why, if I look at the media in the U.S., there are a lot of protests by the U.S. citizens against this policy. So, this does not mean that countries will hurt because of the tariff being imposed by Donald Trump, because you have to remember, it is not only a single country. For example, U.S. and China may impose, and then China retaliate, and then they will negotiate for a certain tariff. But what is being done by U.S. president was not that. He imposed to various countries. And do we in Indonesia need to go to the U.S. and negotiate? I don't think so. We don't need to go to the U.S. because if we go to the U.S., you know, the Secretary of Treasury of in the U.S. said that more than 50 countries. The question is, in which number are we going to be doing with respect to that? And this is a global phenomenon. This is not only Indonesia and U.S. Phenomenon. So that is my take on this issue.
Okay, and how does it affect the international relations? Do people still think that U.S. still have a good relationship with everyone?
Well, I'm thinking the reason why Donald Trump has imposed this tariff is that he wants to say, look, United States is the master of international trade. If we're going to impose, then you will have to come to us and negotiate. That is probably the message. That is one. Secondly, the U.S. wants to negotiate and try to say, look, you need to have the competitive advantage the same as in the U.S., meaning that he wants U.S. factories in various around the world to go back to the U.S. and then start manufacturing product there and then opening jobs in the U.S. Because for Donald Trump to make America great again means that he needs to open a lot of jobs. And how are you going to open a lot of jobs where factories of the U.S. enterprises, they reallocate their factories outside the U.S. because it is much cheaper. Probably the workers are much cheaper. They get more profit out of this instead of, you know, staying in the U.S. So this is probably what he wants when he imposed a tariff. And he wants also that the U.S. will be treated fairly. Because in the old days, tariff is being used by the U.S. government to quote-unquote control other countries. If they are good, then they will have certain preference given by the U.S. government to, for example, third world countries, including us, Indonesia, including China. But now, President Trump said, look, China is not third world countries any longer. So they have to pay the same tax, you know, and then they want the U.S.-based companies who are manufacturing in China to go back to the U.S.
Okay, so that's his plan all along, according to you. And we have seen all the news that Indonesia will or might be negotiating with the U.S. Suppose that still happens, how do you see the negotiations would unfold?
First of all, we do not know which number are we going to pay, right? Because a lot of countries are coming to the U.S. Secondly, we have to look at the phenomenon. One, China said that they're going to retaliate, you know, the same tariff as the U.S. imposed. Second, European Union, they said, look, we're not going to negotiate, we're going to fight this with the U.S. Third, you look at Canada, you look to other countries, they do the same, right? So why is it that we want to negotiate? Unless it is between the U.S. and Indonesia, yes, we're going to negotiate. If not, we just go along with, you know, other countries, you know? Hopefully, before 3 months, Trump will change his policy. Because he will have to face his public in the U.S. There's going to be a lot of demonstration. They wanted Trump to rectify his policy. And hopefully he did. And after that, hopefully it's not going to be imposed. So what's the need to go to the U.S. For that reason? And mention this, in Indonesia, the president, our president, President Prabowo, wants to, you know, save a lot of budget. So if we're going to send delegates and do nothing there, they're not going to do anything.
Okay.
So that's what I think.
Okay, but if we still go there, so we know the government is still going there, do we have the leverage that we can negotiate to lower the tariffs, sir?
Well, of course. You know, for example, palm oil. If the U.S. cannot come up with companies who produce palm oil in other places, and they don't put a very low tariff, then, you know, Indonesia is still in a good position, of course. Yeah? But the problem is, for example, this is what I regret. Vietnam says that they're going to, impose a 0% tariff for the U.S. companies. Meaning that we're going to compete with Vietnam in providing apparel, for example, textile, sneakers to the U.S. So this is where ASEAN is very important. We need to synergize, and then hopefully we have a strong position like the European Union. I'm not sure yet, but we understand that our president went to Malaysia and then meet with the Prime Minister, Anwar Ibrahim. Hopefully there's going to be something come up from that meeting, especially we understand that Indonesia and Malaysia is the biggest producer of palm oil. I don't know whether this will continue with meetings with other ASEAN head of state, which is very important. This is very timely for ASEAN to get together, and then they will, you know, form a coalition, very strong coalition against what is the U.S. president imposed. That's one. And secondly, I think Indonesia needs to stop going to WTO, even though probably this is meaningless because we are going against a big country. But, you know, based on rules and procedures, we need to go to WTO because U.S. is also a party to the WTO. So that's it.
Yeah, and talking about WTO, a lot of people say that, what Trump is doing is it violates the WTO regulations, or do you think that, and is there any other international law that is violated by that rule or by the tariff imposed by Trump?
Well, the WTO law is being violated by Trump, but he knows that U.S. is above the law because, you know, because of its power. But still, you know, as a law-abiding country, we need to go to the WTO and then bring this issue to the dispute settlement body, even though I understand that there's not going to be any meaningful decision or meaningful outcome from this process. But still, as a law-abiding country, we need to observe international law.
We know that tariff policy itself is just one part of the MAGA to make America great again. Should there be another policy that might affect the whole world, especially Indonesia? How should Indonesia respond in terms of diplomacy?
Well, I don't know. we do not know, you know, what's in the mind of President Trump. But we know that, you know, a lot of difficulties with those people in the U.S. foreigners who are, you know, pro-Palestine being deported and this and that. So we do not know. But it has been something that affected the global issues. All right?
So this policy seems to challenge the spirit of multilateralism in the whole world. So how do the world and Indonesia respond to it to protect the global cooperation?
Well, first of all, we have to go against, you know, this policy, and we're hoping that the U.S. citizens will pick up this issue, and then probably, you know, pressure President Trump to change the policy. If not, then President Trump himself will be impeached by the people through Congress. So that's what we're hoping, because we need to maintain the global system as it is now.
So it's coming from inside out, only the answer. Okay, thank you very much, Professor. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Okay, listen, it is Professor Hikmahan, the UN International Relations Expert and Observer for Global Diplomacy. And we've just talked about how the U.S. reciprocal tariff affected the multilateral cooperation and trade systems, including other things that Indonesia might should be doing. And you can listen again to this dialogue on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia.